This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:38. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been talking about youth participation in politics for the past half an hour. It's the closing in our... two-week-long series of interviews on Hopes for Malaysia, where we've been talking to different people, trying to make Malaysia a better place and asking them for their hopes for the country. So we'd like to hear from you. Have you been feeling encouraged by youth participation in politics? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some messages.
So let's start with Ron, who says, I see Malaysia regressing and we need the younger generation to step in to make sure that they have a future to look forward to. So a few separate ideas there. I'm not sure we are regressing overall. That's a pessimistic view. I understand where it's coming from, but it does feel a tad pessimistic. But that point about making sure they have a future to look forward to, I think, is certainly something that's been brought up a lot, particularly in the context of climate change.
I think actually that's a really significant point, right? Why should young people be so invested in politics? Why should young people be so invested in policy matters? This is something that we can... I mean, the whole reason is because it is their future. They have an active stake in trying to figure out what they want that future to look like. So I think that's absolutely the reason why youth participation in politics is so important. We also have a voice note on this from Rahim.
Yes, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, from the previous discussion, right? Yes, the youth should be participate more on politics, right? And it's not about taking sides, you know, it's about casting vote. It's about knowing that a politician can make a difference. And it's also to break from the mindset, right? So previously when we were governed by the British, right, when they actually take over or control Malaysia, right, we've been separated. So Malays in government, right, Chinese, you go and to the mines and do business, right? And the Indians on estates, okay? So we are still struggle to break out from that, all right? So the young people, that's our hope to actually revolutionize the mind thinking, all right? So we are as one. We are not Malay, Indian, Chinese. We are actually Malaysian, all right? So once we move towards that, we will achieve more than we should. We are really merdeka in a way.
Rahim, thank you for that. I think that's absolutely it. I think one of the most encouraging things I've seen with a lot of our youth led movements, not all, but so many of them, is that they really do cross many of these lines that we've often been told exist in our society.
Well, that's one thing. But the other thing, I think, is that it is a conscious decision. And that's important because if the movement themselves bake in from the start that whatever else is going on, diversity and inclusion is going to be an important aspect of what they do and make up the membership or the leadership of the movement, then that clearly is going to be something that is put in place because you said it. You've said it and now it's there and you have to do it. And I think that conscious centering of saying, no, we need a movement that is going to represent and cut across race, culture, class, that's very important.
Keep those thoughts coming. Have you been feeling encouraged by youth participation in politics? You can call 7733-2900, voice note or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And that brings us to 5:42. It's time for Today on Twitter, where it's a question for the ages. Do you prefer a phone call or written communication, like an email or a text?
I'm going to try to explain this. It depends on your familiarity with Ben Affleck memes on the internet. So this began from a tweet from Tommy Mason, and it's a quote. Free for a quick call, easier to explain on the phone. And then it's got a Ben Affleck photo of him standing outside of a building with a smoke, eyes closed, face lifted to the sky in despair. And so if you're familiar with the frustrated slash sad Ben Affleck presence on the internet, then this is something that you will have seen. But anyway, the conversation around this has been very robust. I think it is as much about a generational divide as it is about a generational workplace divide, but also the different ways people prefer to communicate. So for the ease of our segment, we've broken it down broadly into pro-call, anti-call or pro-text, and neutral and nuanced responses.
Okay, so on the side of people who think, yes, I prefer a phone call, there is Gachaphobic, who says, the replies here drive me insane. I'd rather take the call than spend 30 minutes back and forth typing.
Okay, Andrea Petrick says, you can't beat a phone call. Easier, more efficient. If you need to show something, then just do Google Hangouts, Zoom, or whatever tech you got. Constant chatting back and forth takes up too much time and effort. Andrea is not somebody who I could communicate with easily, I think.
Maldo says, how else do... Well, actually, I was going to say, maybe that's because you didn't hear them say it.
I reject that. Go on.
Maldo says, how else do you expect to hone in on verbal tonality and other important clues? A simple 5 to 10 minute call can set the frame of the relationship. People who are terrible on the phone prefer emails or texting. So much for people who just say, well, it's easier, clearer, more human to make phone calls, right? But when you look at the anti-call, i.e. people who just prefer that text, who prefer that email, let's start with this. Dead Seagull says, babbling on the fly verbally in real time versus checking facts, taking time, crafting concise and informative message with no fat. I've taken hundreds of these quote-unquote quick calls. Never have I encountered information that couldn't have been better stated in text.
So that represents a number of cogent arguments in favor of the ability to trim everything down to the necessary within an email. I think not everybody knows how to do that either, by the way, but that is one of the main arguments that's coming through on the anti-call, down with phones kind of rhetoric. We have a pair that are saying similar things. Sarah Kelly says, if you insist on explaining something to me verbally, I'm just going to ask you to email me everything you just explained. Meanwhile, Bertil says, and this is a quote, I think it's best if I give you time to collect your thoughts and put them in a short email. If it's not clear to you now, it won't be to me for however long that quick call is going to be.
Mark Funk says, usually it means I have to re-explain what they told me to a coworker later because there's no documented conversation. Sigh. So that's a big aspect of this, right? Like, I think the need to document conversations, to have it in black and white, to not have to keep repeating or retyping things that were said verbally is a big push for why people prefer text or email.
Some people, by the way, recommend a quick call and then a quick email with meeting notes. So kind of a meeting of the worlds.
Yeah, I've seen that happen. Mm. Not always ideal, but yeah, I suppose sort of an unhappy meeting in the middle. Cruella says, just text me or email or use a pigeon. Whatever. You do not call.
I mean, that's emphatic. Like, the preference for a pigeon really says it all. I don't know how many of us have trained pigeons, but perhaps there's a sub-business that could
be done. You don't have to talk to a pigeon. That's why it's preferable.
Lord Talha says, every time someone says this, the quick call ends up being 47 minutes long. This is fair. This is true. Meanwhile, if we move on to the neutral or more nuanced takes, Alex Boyd, I think, represents in some ways how I feel. So they say, depends. I don't mind phone calls when they're with people who are pleasant yet to the point. I like those calls. Some calls are quick, some go on longer than anticipated, and it doesn't matter. They're productive. It's these calls from folks every time they send an email just to tell me they sent an email. Do not do that. I'm also not a fan of calls with people who need written evidence of a conversation because they constantly misinterpret what I said or claim I didn't say it.
So this one from Ian actually gets to the heart of where I fall on this. So Ian says, mail, 1 month response time. Email, 1 to 2 day response time. Text, a few hours or that day sometimes, unless late at night. Call, urgent. This cannot wait. Them's the rules. So the reason I vibe with that is because I think calling someone signals a kind of urgency or a demand on your time that may not always be equal on either side. So if you call me, I have to attend to you right then, versus if it's something that you text me about, I can get to it when I can.
Which is a point that a few people brought up, that the call might be easier for the person initiating the call. It's not always easier for the person on the receiving end who has to drop whatever they were doing because they weren't free. The person who initiated the call was. But that also, I think, speaks to how them's the rules, right? So a call should be urgent. A text is less urgent, but still maybe time sensitive and so on and so forth. And the thing is, a lot of people don't respect those rules. So a lot of people apply, you know, something that could have been like snail mail becomes a call. And that's when it gets a bit frustrating. Kenrick says, if you feel strongly one way or the other, you are the problem. Effective communication is a two-way street. This idea that either a talker or a listener must be subservient to the other is ridiculous. Each person is different. Some are good with voice, others text. Respect each.
Well, I have this one from Constantine as perhaps for me, the thing that I really cannot deal with. Constantine says, voice memos are the answer to this. And I'm not really, I don't think so. I don't think they are the happy medium between a phone call and a text.
I'd rather take the 30-minute phone call or the 30-minute back and forth chat than the 30-minute pressing of play and hurriedly lifting my phone to my face because if not, everybody is going to hear whatever is said. No, I'm not for voice memos.
Except in the case where I'm talking to people who maybe we have a language disconnect or we speak different, you know, and typing is inconvenient. I completely get it. So, I mean, I think it's time we confess. Where do you fall on this argument, Lynn?
No calls. I don't believe in... I have become that person who... I grew up on phone calls, but increasingly I prefer text. Maybe this also comes from being a reader and therefore preferring written communication. But I believe in phone calls and face-to-face conversations for things that are difficult or nuanced or, you know, I think for conversations that require in-person back and forth, the ability to look someone in the face and be able to see verbal cues or to hear their voice. I'm a big believer then in phone calls and then, of course, in the subsequent following up of something written. But otherwise, this could have been an email. This meeting could have been an email. I'm a big believer in that also.
I love phone calls from people who are, you know, my personal friends, family, because I actually do enjoy listening to their voice. But when it comes to more formal things, work and so on, I 100% agree. I prefer it to be a text and a call only if it's urgent. And I think that has a lot more to do with time. I don't always have the time to attend to a phone call. And then it gets really awkward when someone asks and you never have the time to pick up the phone. I largely agree with you as well. We would like to hear from you. Which side of this are you on? Do you prefer phone calls or a text or email? You can call us, 7733-2900. You can send us a voice note or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this with your thoughts on this. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, it is 5:53. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been talking about calls, texts, emails, and where you stand on this spectrum. This comes from a viral tweet talking about that idea of a quick call and how many people apparently just prefer you send over a text or an email. So we'd like to hear from you. Where do you stand on this? Which side are you on? Do you prefer phone calls or text or email? You can call 7733-2900. You can send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. You can send us a WhatsApp as well or tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have thoughts.
So let's start with Kinwai, who says, call when you need to explain something, WhatsApp, etc. for casual chat, email for more formal things, email and CC important people for CYA purposes.
Oh, that covers a lot of ground. I think the call when you need to explain something is fair. There are things that perhaps need more nuance, you need to talk about something. But I also think it then needs to be phrased as a request. I'm not sure how to say this, that I really do think that actually being able to take a call these days is a bit of a luxury for many people.
So Anonymous says, I've also asked for permission prior to calling someone for urgent matters as a sign of respect. My meetings rarely last for more than 30 minutes. Anything that needs more time isn't a meeting, it's a work session.
That's such a great practice. And I say this as someone who has gotten random calls from unknown numbers and panicked thinking that it was an emergency, or on the other hand, thinking it was a scam call and just ignoring it.
Scam call thing is very real.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then if you get like 3 missed calls from a number, you do tend to worry sometimes, right? So...
And yet that's what scammers do as well.
So yes, I think asking before calling, unless you're part of a person's inner circle, is always a good practice. Kayla says, for someone who has auditory processing issues, a text or an email helps me better.
Yeah, and that's an important aspect here. I wonder also if you're neurodivergent, whether or not a text or something face-to-face would help. You know, I think it really depends on your comfort levels in terms of what you need in terms of social cues, right? And how you receive that better. Meezy says, I'm okay with all modes, but I can't understand why people text when it's urgent. Then they get upset when there's no immediate response. Sorry, but I don't think it's wise to keep looking up for messages, especially when you're driving. By the way, when I drive, I ignore all calls. After all, chances are I would be dangerous for others on the road as well as myself. That's just good practice. I also am... I think that's just logically sound, that if it is urgent and you send a text, you really shouldn't expect the other person to recognize the urgency, especially because you don't know what they're doing.
And I think advice to just not use your phone when you're driving, no matter what, is always good advice. I think also the assumption that people understand your tone is something that's coming through in a lot of messages. So we have Ellie saying, I prefer to call someone when it's something that I feel needs to be conveyed alongside emotions. Tone in texts can be misconstrued, but texts are great too. I tend to stammer and get nervous on phone calls.
That's the thing. Tonal, like I said, difficult conversations that require nuance, or where I anticipate that there might be a need for clarification, I think phone calls are always the way. Nat says, I'm for phone calls. People don't like talking on the phone anymore. That can be so frustrating. I think a lot of people who are phone callers feel this very intensely, because I suspect, Nat, that you might be in the minority. Nat goes on to say, I can't stand long messages. Best have a chat to get things resolved and have some clarity. Text for something that is not urgent, bolela. I only use WhatsApp for work purposes and for BFM. Thank you so much. But for personal stuff, I call the people I want to talk to or hear from.
I actually completely identify with that final part of personal stuff. I call the people I want to talk to because I want to hear from them. And that's partly it, right? You want to hear from particular people, and that part I completely understand. I think though, and I think we haven't brought this up specifically, I feel like there might be a generational divide with this as well. I think if you were raised with ease of texting, raised with not having to limit your number of characters in a text, for instance, you're a lot more willing to engage in long drawn out conversations in text because you're very used to it.
Also, if we're going to talk about generational divides, let's talk about rudeness, because I've realized that there is a very big difference in terms of what is considered rude. That if you are somebody who prefers phone calls and who grew up in a generation where that was the norm, then sometimes people refusing to call you feels rude. Whereas to younger people raised on text communication, the insistence on a phone call feels rude. And that is a divide, I think, that is difficult to acknowledge or difficult to work around sometimes. Because, for example, we have this from Bui, who says, emails and WhatsApp are common modes of communication in organization and business environments. But for friends, close ones, elderly parents and seniors, it's more sincere if you call them.
I 100% agree, Bui, that and this conversation, I think, will shift when you're talking about either personal versus work as well. Mm. Because I think it's one thing to say that in my personal life, I'm quite happy to get calls from X, Y and Z at any time, versus in my work life, I'm quite okay to get calls from my office at any time. Because I think those two things can be very different. Daniel actually just making a very practical point. I used to be a text person, but after having little kids, I rarely hold my phone, or my kids will ask to use the phone. So now I'm more of a call person.
I mean, that's you're right. Practical is the word for it.
Keep those thoughts coming. Which side are you on? Do you prefer phone calls or text or email? You can call 7733 2900. You can send us a voice note or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.